for tapes of end time meetings, deliverance services, or Lake Hamilton Bible Campground's publication, Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom, writes Post Office Box 21516, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas, zip 71903.
Our website is www.lakehamiltonbiblecamp.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.
Saturday afternoon, December the 27th, 2003. Midwinter Family Camp Meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Campgrounds, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Frank Marzullo of Cooper City, Florida, is the teacher in this service.
I'm Frank Marzullo, Jr., and somebody who was here from last night. Okay, so some of you have been here, and we have some newcomers that haven't been here. This morning you heard a message from Jerry McGee, and she spoke on pretty much what I was going to speak on, except for a few things here I just want to bring up front. She was overlaying some things for you. She was setting the groundwork for you. And it's very interesting that the Lord wants you to hear this because He really pounded it in my heart to bring this message. So I know that if He pounded it in my heart to bring it, and He did the same thing to Jerry, that it was meant for you to hear. Now, you're going to hear it from two different directions, so you're going to catch a little bit different. I'm going to talk to you today about spiritually rooted diseases. And a lot of us are afflicted, and have diseases and are afflicted, and are vexed in our spirit, so to speak, in many different ways. And sometimes this starts in the spirit of man, and it carries over into the flesh of man. And so you find out that some of the diseases and some of the illnesses that you have and some of the emotional and physical problems that you have are rooted in something that is deeply spiritual. And so with that in mind, I'd like you to turn to Deuteronomy in chapter 6. And I think probably what I'll do is I'll move a little fast here. So if you can't move as fast as I do, just drop the number down and then go back to it later. Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 5. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your might. Does that sound familiar to you? And then Leviticus 19, verse 18 says this. The Word of God says this. You shall not take vengeance nor bear any grudge against the sons of your people, but you shall love your neighbor as yourself. I am the Lord. Do those two verses sound anything like what Jesus said when He was asked by the Pharisees? What is the greatest commandment? That's what Jesus was quoting from. Deuteronomy 6, 5 and Leviticus chapter 19, 18. This is the greatest commandment, Jesus said, and the second one is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. And see, the whole law depends on these two verses here, according to what Jesus said. And I believe that this is the beginning of being healed of all spiritually rooted diseases. When it begins, when you accept peace with God, when you have peace with God, and you have peace with your neighbor, and your neighbor could be from here all the way around the world, on the other side of the world. So if you have peace with the Lord Jesus Christ, and you have peace with other people, that is the very beginning of you being healed. If you do not love yourself, how can you love someone else? If you don't have love, you will not be able to receive their love if you cannot extend your love. The Lord wants to heal you of all your diseases. It says in Psalm 103, verse 1, the Word of God says, Bless the Lord, all my soul, and forget none of His benefits, who pardons all your iniquities and heals all. Everybody say all. All your diseases. God wants to heal all of your iniquities and heal all of your diseases. That's what He wants to do. And of course, we know what Satan wants to do. He wants to nail you down to them. He wants to keep you sick. He wants to make sure that you're not well, that you focus in on yourself instead of on the Lord Jesus Christ. So He wants to take your focus off of the Lord and put it on you with sickness and disease. That includes spiritually rooted diseases. And some of us suffer with these things. Some of us suffer with diseases that are spiritually rooted. 2 Timothy 1:7 says, God has not given us a spirit of fear. Everybody should know this by heart. God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. If you can't love yourself, or you can't love others, or if your mind is not sound, or there's no power in your life, and it's not disciplined, you may be experiencing a spiritually rooted disease in fear. That's right. Let me repeat that. You may be receiving a spiritually rooted disease in fear if you don't have a sound mind. Your life has no power in it. You hear me? It could be rooted in fear, and that's a spiritually rooted disease. 1 Corinthians 11, chapter 11, verse 29 through 31. Let's go there. This is another example of a spiritually rooted disease. And I think that perhaps what we'll do is just read it all together. Chapter 11, verse 29, and we're at the Lord's Supper. It's what it's speaking about. For he who eats and drinks judgment to himself, if he does not judge the body rightly. For this reason, many among you are weak. Everybody say weak. And sick. And a number sleep. You see, there's a place where we don't judge the body rightly. We go before the Lord in communion. And we flippantly go before the Lord. And we just have communion jokingly, and we don't understand the depth of what we're doing. And we don't understand to judge ourselves. You see, at that point, we should be actually looking at ourselves and seeing what's going on in our life before we partake of the body and blood of Jesus Christ. We're supposed to look and judge the body. And for this reason, it says, there's many of you are weak and sick. Weak. How many people are weak and sick? Okay? You can be weak and sick because you didn't judge yourself rightly before you took communion. So there's a spiritually rooted disease right there. And then it goes on to say that some of you sleep. That doesn't mean going to sleep and waking up the next morning. That means die. Some people actually died because they did not judge themselves rightly before they took the Lord's supper. And so we have an example of things that could possibly injure us and hurt us even unto death if we do not judge our body rightly before that. Chronic fatigue syndrome. Does that make a person weak all the time? That's a spirit, and it's caused by not judging the body rightly before communion. We could see another examples of this. There's unforgiveness. I don't know about you, but I can remember going before the Lord and having unforgiveness in my heart and taking communion and just not having any energy, lethargic. I remember having a grudge for a couple of years with somebody. And because of that, I was lethargic. I had no motivation. I didn't know what to do. I just didn't feel like doing anything. Has anybody ever felt that way? Okay, so then you understand. There's a time in your life where you've got to go before the Lord, before you take communion, and look at yourself. Judge what's going on inside of you. If you have unforgiveness in your heart, confess it before the Lord. If you hold a grudge against somebody, confess it before the Lord, before you take the body and blood of Jesus Christ. Amen? So that's one thing. Now, I'd like you to turn to Proverbs 14:30. And who's got a King James Version here? A New King James or a regular King James? I want you to read it out loud, 14:30. Sister, would you do that for me? Proverbs 14:30. You got a King James? You got one? Whoever gets there fastest gets the mic.
A sound heart is the life of the flesh, but envy the rottenness of the bones.
Envy the rottenness of the bones. Who has another version? What do you have? NRSV.
A tranquil mind gives life to the flesh, but passion makes the bones rot.
Who has another version?
Standard. A tranquil heart is life to the body, but passion is rottenness to the bones.
There's something that's rottenness to the bones. Passion, envy. What are all the roots of that? I'll tell you what it is. Anybody want to guess? Jealousy. 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 Bitterness. Defile the bones. There's something called osteoporosis. Everybody knows what that is? Your bones just literally become honeycombed. It's rottenness. How about cancer of the bone? It's rottenness to the bones. There's things that causes disease that start in the spirit of man, that causes something outwardly to happen, a manifestation of a sickness. If you are jealous, if you hate, all the spirits that are connected with jealousy, all the spirits that are connected with jealousy could cause jealousy, hatred, envy, resentment, bitterness, anger. All those things could cause something to happen to your bones. There's a root there. And so these are the byproducts of jealousy. Remember that. Holding a grudge or holding envy towards someone. They're byproducts. Holding on to these things can cause you to be sick, and even not only physically sick, but demonically sick. Forgiveness is an emotion. Is it? No. It's an act of your will. Anger is an emotion. Envy is an emotion. Jealousy is an emotion. But forgiveness is not. It's an act of your own will. And so you have to purpose in your heart to get out of these things. If someone wants to forgive, but they just say, I can't forgive them. You don't know what they did, Brother Frank. You don't know what they did to me. Well, guess what you're doing? You're causing yourself to be sick. You're not putting anything on anybody else. You're causing yourself to be sick. Now, some of you know this for fact, and you've read it over and over and over again, but you need to look at it for the first time with spiritual eyes. And I'd like you to turn to Matthew 18. Matthew 18 is Jesus, and he's talking, and he's speaking about a kingdom principle. And the kingdom principle is this. There is a king, and he had a slave. And the slave owed him a lot of money, and he forgave that slave. And then that slave found a fellow slave, and the fellow slave owed him some pocket change. And he says, give me my pocket change. I want my money. And basically, the fellow slave says, I can't pay you back. And so the slave that was forgiven much had the fellow slave put in prison until he paid him back all that he owed. And in Matthew 18:34-35, you find that story. But at the very end of it, you will find that when the king found out what had happened, he was outraged by his actions, by the slave's actions. And he says, I forgave you much, and you should have forgave your fellow slave much. And down at the very end, and the Lord was moved with anger, handed him over to the torturers until he should repay all that was owed him. That's verse 35. Now I want you to focus in on, verse 35. So shall my heavenly Father also do to you, do the same to you, if each of you does not forgive his brother from his heart. What Jesus is saying here is that there's a place that you can put yourself in. You can put yourself into the hands of the torturer, into the hands of demons, by not forgiving. So if you have unforgiveness in your heart, you could actually be tormented because all of a sudden you're moved out of God's hands and placed into the hands of the torturers. And there you will stay until you repay all that is owed you, all that is owed. And what is that? Forgiveness. And some of you are being tormented today. Some of you have torments, you have diseases, you have sicknesses today because you're holding a grudge in your heart towards someone else. Someone, I tell you what, we've been on this earth long enough, every one of us have been on this earth long enough to know that when your toes get stepped on and you go, ouch, that hurts. And each one of you have had your toes stepped on. Everybody here has had your toes stepped on. Myself included. And the first thing we do is we step back and we put our hands up, I want nothing to do with you anymore. Right? Isn't that what we say? I don't care what you do in your life. I'll fool you on you. And you hold a grudge. And every time that you think of that person and their face and it comes before you, you think of the very worst thing that they ever did to you. You think of the thing that they did to you or the thing that they said to you. And you're holding a grudge in your heart, unforgiveness. And then you wonder why you're sick. And then you wonder why. Because you were sent to the tormentors. That's why. So there's actions that you can do that will cause a spiritual effect on your life, but it also causes a physical effect on your life too. You're in the hands of tormentors. Today we're going to break that cycle. We're going to break you out of that in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen? Praise God. Hallelujah. Well, God wants to heal us of all these things. He wants to heal us of every one of these things. I was praying for a woman in South Miami one time, and she said, would you please pray for my knees? My knees hurt. And I went over and I started to lay my hands on her knees and pray for her knees. And I moved my hands away, and the Lord put a picture of a woman's face in front of me. And He gave me a word of knowledge. He said, unforgiveness. And so I told the lady, I said, you have unforgiveness in your heart towards a woman, and you know who she is. And she screamed out. She says, yes, I know. She stole my house. My daughter. And so I said, well, you have to forgive her. And so once she forgave her, then I laid hands on her, and I prayed for the Lord to heal her. And she immediately felt heat in her knees, got up and started dancing. She was healed. But there was a spiritually rooted disease in her knees. She had arthritis in her knees. Arthritis and unforgiveness go hand in glove. Well, Brother Frank, I'm just a Christian and I've got to bear this thorn in my flesh. Anybody ever say that? Oh my goodness, who's got a thorn in their flesh? No. I tell you what, God wants to heal all your diseases. That's what it said in Psalm. He wants to heal them all. He doesn't want you to have any thorns in your flesh. He wants you to be healed and whole and made well. Amen? No. Don't buy into that. That's my thorn. I've got to have it. Brother Frank. No, don't keep it. Don't do that. When Jesus... tell you what. Let me backtrack here. Some people believe that that Jesus healed back in the biblical days, but He doesn't heal today. And I've met people and brothers and sisters in the Lord that believe that God answers prayers. He doesn't heal today. He'll just answer prayers. He doesn't do miracles anymore. He doesn't do any of that stuff. And I don't know if you've ever been to any of those churches or not. I've been to churches where they actually believe that it's just an answered prayer. It's nothing else. Fully. God heals the same way as He did back in those days as He does today. He heals today. If you believe that He doesn't heal today, then He won't heal you. Jesus could do no miracles in His own hometown because people just didn't believe Him. If you doubt, if you disbelieve, it's just not going to happen for you because you placed yourself in that position. It's an act of your will. Jesus said to the two blind people in Matthew 9:28, He said, do you believe I can heal you? Yes, Lord, we believe. And then He touched their eyes and they were healed. You see, He asked the question, do you believe I can heal you? Do you believe I'm able to do this? And they said, yes. And then He said something very interesting there. Matthew 9:28 and 29. It shall be done to you according to your faith. So there has to be an act of your faith in order to receive a healing of any type of disease. If you doubt, if you disbelieve, if you think it's for another dispensation, then it's not going to happen. John 5. John is talking about what Jesus did. I love Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. They're books that just tell the story of Jesus' life here on this earth. And John 5, verse 1, the healing at the pool of Bethesda. And if you go down, now let's tell you what, let's just turn there. John. Is everybody there except me? Okay, wait for me. And John chapter, I got a new Bible so it's hard, I don't have any road maps on it yet. After these things, there was a feast of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Now there was in Jerusalem by the sheep gate a pool, which is called in Hebrew Bethesda, having five porticos. And these lay a multitude of those who were sick, blind, lame, and withered. Everybody say sick, blind, lame, withered. Guess what? These were people in bad shape. And they're all laying around. Let's find out what they're laying around for. Waiting for the moving of the waters. For an angel of the Lord went down at certain seasons into the pool and stirred the waters. Whoever then first, after the stirring up of the waters, stepped in and was made well from whatever disease which he was afflicted. What we have here is we have Jesus walking into this area. And He goes to a place where healings happen supernaturally by an angel of the Lord who comes at a certain season. And He stirs the water. The angel stirs the water. And the water, after being stirred, the first one that gets into this pool of water is healed. And so when Jesus saw him lying there, He knew that he had been in that a long time in that condition. But let me back it up. I skipped a verse here. And it's an important verse. And a certain man was there who had been 38 years in his sickness. Now here's a man who's been sick for 38 years. And when Jesus saw him lying there, he knew that he had already been there a long time in that condition. He had been sick for a long time. And he said to him, "Do you wish to get well?" Verse 7, the sick man answered him, "Sir, I have no man to put me into the pool, and when the water is stirred up while I'm coming, another one steps down before me." Jesus said, "Arise, take up your pallet and walk." And immediately the man became well and took up his pallet and began to walk. Praise the Lord. You see this? Now, there's so many different minuets I can teach out of this, but I just want to get you onto a theme here. And drop down to verse 14 with me, please. In verse 14, we see, "Afterwards, Jesus found him in the temple and said to him, 'Behold, you have become well. Do not sin anymore, so that nothing worse happens to you.'" You see, in this passage, Jesus directly ties sin to disease and sickness. Do not sin, lest something worse happens to you. Are you catching this? The reason why that man was there was because he was sick. He couldn't get down into the water. He had been in a condition for a long time, 38 years. He had been ill for 38 years. And so Jesus says, don't sin, lest something else happen to you. In other words, there's something worse that could happen to you and your illnesses. A worse thing could very well come upon you. So he ties it together with sin at this point. And so, in this passage, like we see that there's a penalty or a curse for disobedience. If you sin, something worse is going to happen to you beyond this. You're healed. You're set free. Don't do it anymore. And so we see that sin could bring a disease, can bring a sickness, can bring an illness. So if you are in sin, you could be opening up yourself to a physical illness as well. Ephesians 6:2. "Please hear me in the Spirit of the Lord. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise, so that it may be well with you, that you may live a long time along on this earth." Honor your father and mother. Now, some of you have had parents that have passed away, but that doesn't necessarily mean that you forgave them. That doesn't necessarily mean that you honor their name because they're off this earth. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise, so that it may be well with you and that you may live long on this earth. Sometimes people, things are not going well with you because you did not honor your father and mother. Things may be happening in your life that you've never really honored your father and mother. Hear me now. You could have a lousy, lousy life. You have no life. You have no purpose in life. And you're wondering why. Maybe you didn't honor your father and your mother. Maybe the things are in your life, your loss of job, your no work, you can't find work, you don't know what to do in your future, you're unstable. Maybe because you never honored your father or your mother and they're not going well with you. Maybe you hold a grudge against them. Maybe they did something to you. Maybe they didn't do anything to you. But the passage here says that honor your father and your mother, that things may go well with you. How about, have you ever told God, "Why did you do that? Why did you let that happen? Why did that accident happen? And my niece's daughter was taken. Why did you let so-and-so die? How come you took so-and-so?" And you may shake your fist at God and say, "Why did you do that? Why, Lord, why?" And that's not honoring your Heavenly Father. And so things may not go well with you on this earth because you dishonored your Heavenly Father. Are you catching me? Are you catching this? Praise God. That's good, because this is setting you free. Amen? This is going to set you free today. Let's move along. Let's stop blaming God for what happened in our life or in somebody else's life. Thank you, Lord. Sickness, disease, poverty, all those things could come by not honoring God, by not honoring your Heavenly Father. Unforgiveness, cancer of the bones, osteoporosis, all those things come from jealousy, envy, bitterness, hatred, not loving God, not loving your brothers and sisters, not loving your neighbors. Fear brings on emotional diseases. Jerry was talking about that earlier. Anger, you get sent to the tormentors, that brings on other forms of diseases, whether they be physical or spiritual. Lack of faith, be it done to you according to your faith. Lack of faith will prevent you from getting your healing of diseases. Dishonoring your father and your mother or your heavenly father will make things not go well with you on this earth. You may not live a long life if you dishonor your father and your mother. Now that brings me up to number 8. Are you writing these things down? Okay, let me give them to you again. Unforgiveness, not loving God with all your heart, soul, and mind. That's number 2. Number 3 is not loving others, not loving self. Number 4 is fear. Number 5 is anger, sent to the tormentors. Number 6 is lack of faith. Number 7 is dishonoring your father or mother or heavenly father. And number 8, which I'm going to get to. Oh, Lord. I don't mean to step on anybody's spiritual toes here, but sometimes people expect God to heal them on their own terms. You see, this will prevent your healing. This will prevent you from being healed. Brother, I want you to pray for me, but first I want you to fast for 40 days. I've prayed and I've prayed and I've prayed, but I know that, you know, you fast for me and I'll be healed. Kind of ordering God what to do here. It reminds me of a story of Naaman, the captain of the Syrian army, and he was a prophet of God. He went to Elijah, the prophet of God, and he hears that there's a prophet in Israel that could heal him of his leprosy. See, Naaman's a Syrian captain. And so he goes a great distance, and he goes to be healed by Elijah, but Elijah doesn't bother to come out of his house. Elijah sends his servant out to talk to the captain of the Syrian army. And the servant says, "Go dip 7 times in the Jordan, and your flesh will become clean again." And let's pick it up here in 2 Kings. So you're going to like this. You're going to like this. 2 Kings, chapter 5. And let's see. And we'll start at verse number 11. But Naaman... Let's back it up a little bit. "Go and wash in the Jordan 7 times, and your flesh will be restored to you, and you shall be clean." Verse 11. "But Naaman was furious and went away and said, 'Behold, I thought he would surely come out to me and stand, call upon the name of the Lord his God, and wave his hand over the place and cure the leper.'" Glory to God. So he goes away. He gets angry. Can you see this? I want you to picture this in your mind. "I wanted him to call upon the name of his God and to wave his hand over me so that I could be healed. And he didn't do it. I'm mad. I'm going to go away. I'm not going to do what the prophet said." Can you see this? Can you see this? And some of you and myself have done these things. We wanted God to heal us on our own terms. We know... We say, "We know the best way to do it. I'm going to do it this way." And so, what happens? If Naaman had went off and rode off in the distance and just left, he would have not been healed. However, his servant spoke to him, wisdom. And he turned and he dipped in the Jordan and it was healed. He obeyed the prophet. And now here's an interesting thought I want you to think about. What was the condition of his skin? Leprosy was rottenness to the skin, wasn't it? His skin rotting away. And here's another interesting thought. Do you remember Job? Boils, rottenness to the flesh. What do they have in common? Bingo. Spiritually rooted disease. Pride. Naaman had pride. He wasn't going to do it that way. And also, so did Job. They had something in common. Another block to healing is looking at man rather than God. Jeremiah 17:5 says, "Thus says the Lord, cursed is the man who trusts in mankind and makes flesh his strength." Many people try to make the minister the healer, and they don't get their healing. And they go to one minister after another minister after another minister after another minister. This is faith misdirected. I want to share this with you. You go to God. Don't expect to be healed by a minister. You go to the Lord, and He's your healer. You know, it would be very interesting if you went all the way around the world trying to catch your healing, and then you come back home, and your next-door neighbor prays, and you're healed. And wouldn't that be God just to do something like that? Wouldn't that? Glory to God. Praise the Lord. Thank you. Number nine was another block of healing is looking to man rather than God. Okay, number 10 is not being honest and transparent. That's how a healing is blocked also. Proverbs 16:18 says, "Pride goeth before destruction, and a haughty spirit before stumbling." Not being honest and transparent. Pride will prevent you from healing because it produces a fall. It'll produce a fall, and with that comes disease. James 5:16 says, "Therefore, confess your sins to one another and pray for one another so that you may be healed." James is plainly stating that confession and confessing your sins one to another and praying for each other will bring healing. And pride, guess what? Pride will stop you from that. I don't need to confess my sins before anybody but God. Well, here it says in the Bible, James says, confess to one another and you'll be healed. I think that was there for a reason. I think if you're not being healed of something, you go to your brother and sister and confess your sins to them and see what God does. Somebody you can trust that you can know that they'll hold that word in confidence. You just don't go taking it down the street and telling everybody down the street what you did or whatever. Terrible thing. Like taking your underwear and just dragging them down the street. No? Praise God. Okay, number 11, and I shared this with you last night about not receiving a blessing from the Lord, is you rob God with tithes and offerings. Who wasn't here last night? Just who wasn't here last night? You weren't here last night? Okay. Malachi, I like to call him the Italian prophet, Malachi. Malachi 3, verses 8 through 11. And does everybody know that one? Okay, it's the last book in the Old Testament. Go there. When you hit the New Testament, you've gone too far. Just cut back a little bit. And please, I just, for those that were here last night, please bear with me, because there's people here that need to get set free of this, and they need to hear it. And so if you said, oh, he's doing the same thing over again, well, yes, I am right here, right now. Praise God. Malachi 3, and verse number 8. How come my Bible? Here we go. "Will a man rob God? Yet you are robbing me. But you say, how have we robbed thee?" And here's how God says how you robbed him. "In tithes and offerings." And then in verse 9 he says, "You are cursed with a curse, for you are robbing me, the whole nation of you. Bring the whole tithe into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house. And test me now in this, says the Lord of hosts, if I will not open for you the windows of heaven, and pour out for you a blessing until it overflows." Isn't that nice? Who wants God to open up the windows of heaven? Everybody here, right? You'd be out of your mind if you didn't want God to open up the windows. Verse 11, "Then I will rebuke the devourer for you, that it may not destroy the fruits of the ground, nor will your vine in its field cast its grapes, says the Lord of hosts." Now here we have God who's given us a promise. And what it is that we are cursed with a curse, and by the way, the devil didn't curse us here. God cursed us. We're not tithing to him. We're stealing from him. We're robbing him. And so what has happened here is that we prevent ourselves from getting healed, prevent ourselves from being delivered, because we're cursed with a curse, because we're actually robbing God. I gave an analogy last night about how when it comes to passing the bucket in the front in any church, and you go to church and they say, okay, it's time to give you tithe and your offering, and you reach down into your long pocket with a very short arm. It doesn't quite reach it. And I also gave it another analogy of how people who, I'll give a story about a man who was being baptized. Anybody want to hear it again? Yeah? Say yeah. Okay. Come on. No. Here it goes. There's a guy that wants to be baptized, and he goes with the preacher in the water, and they stand under the water, and the preacher turns to the guy and says, "Now, everything that goes into this water belongs to God, and comes up out of the water belongs to God." And so he starts to baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And he starts to put them down in the water, and the guy reaches in his pocket and immediately pulls out his wallet and holds it up above the ear so it doesn't go into the water. Well, that's kind of like us. We don't want to give God what belongs to Him. We want to keep and tip God when it comes time to do the tithe. And so what God says here in Malachi is that you're robbing me. You're cursed with a curse, the whole nation of you. And so what I'm saying to you, brothers and sisters, is this. If you want God to bless you, tithe. Just that simple. That breaks that curse. And not only that, but it'll prove something to you. As you're being blessed, you're going to see that it was you all along who was holding your blessing back. And I was sharing last night also that when I was a Christian, I didn't tithe 5 years into being a Christian, 10 years into being a Christian, 20 years into being a Christian. I didn't tithe the full amount. I was just tipping God. And some of you here have been in the Lord that many years and are still tipping God, just like I was. Weren't given the whole tithe to God. And the reason why I could never get ahead in life, and the reason why things were going wrong in my family, the reason why, you know, my air conditioners were breaking down, the reasons why all these things were happening to me, is because I wasn't tithing. As soon as I started tithing, I started seeing the blessing immediately. The very first week I saw God blessing me. And He poured it out, just like the Word says here. He just didn't trickle it into my life. He poured it out into my life, and it's been pouring out ever since. Please, set yourself free. Tithe. Amen? Tithe. Praise God. Now, it wasn't for me or for this place here or any place. That was for you. That was for you. So we have issues of spiritually and physically rooted diseases, infirmities, weaknesses, mental, emotional, physical, rooted diseases that are manifesting today in our lives, and it's due to sin, either in us or in our ancestors. Look how the enemy attacks our immune system. Turn with me to Proverbs 17. Doctor, you'll appreciate this. Proverbs 17 and verse 22. A joyful heart is good medicine. Jerry, I believe you said that the other day. A joyful heart is good medicine, but a broken spirit dries up the bones. A broken spirit dries up the bones. What's in the bones? What? Marrow. What do they make? What? What's in the blood? Okay. What type of blood cells are we talking about? And? What's white do? Ta-da! Ta-da! There it is. The immune system. How do you like that? The bones produce white corpuscles. The bones produce T cells. They attack anything that comes into the body. And guess what happens if you don't have joy in your heart? They dry up. See, the Word says, and it's true, that they dry up. And that's what produces the immune system. So anybody sick here? Anybody diseased? Anybody attacked in their body with diseases or illnesses? Just one person? Okay, start laughing. Because joyful heart starts producing your immune system. It gets it going again. A joyful heart is good medicine. A joyful heart is good medicine. Start laughing. Stop being so sourpuss Christians. My goodness, I'm a Christian. Start laughing in the Lord. Start being joyful. It does something. It produces medicine in your body. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now, what is a broken spirit? Now, we talk about a broken spirit in here, too. What is a broken spirit? It's a broken heart. Right? Anybody ever had a broken heart? Anybody lose something in life or a great loss in your life? Well, now, fear and anxiety can come out of a broken heart. You could become anxious. I remember my this happened to my wife, and my daughter was kicked off the cheerleading squad. I have a kind of a colorful family, right? And she was kicked off the cheerleading squad because she's a kind of a ruffian, and she had a squabble with a girl. And they kicked her off the cheerleading squad in high school, and this broke my wife's heart. It just broke it. She was so proud of my daughter, and all of a sudden, her heart was broken. And it produced something in her that I never saw before. She became anxious. She became depressed and anxious. She had a broken heart. She felt rejected by society. And so we went out and bought a dog, and that made it all better. So. But I saw something. I saw a thing that happened, and it was a byproduct of something that happened to her, a broken heart. And it was tough to get her out of that. It was really tough to get her out. So what it does is it causes a past relationship, causes a spirit to enter in, like a past relationship breaks off. You have a relationship with something that breaks off, and you just wish I could get back with them. I wish I could be with them again. I wish I could. That's a broken heart. And so there's a spirit that enters in and it takes up residence in your bones, and it compromises your immune system. It compromises things. You know, it just makes a person ill. And so there's a root, and the root of this is called fear and anxiety. It comes out of a broken heart and a broken spirit. I want you to jot that down. Exodus 15:26. Keep all his statutes. I will put none of the diseases on you which I have put on the Egyptians, for I, the Lord, am your healer. That's Exodus 15:26. So what were the diseases and the plagues of the Egyptians? Anybody know? Do you remember the Ten Commandments, Charlton Heston, in the movie? Boils, you think? Itch. Frogs, locusts, pestilence, what? Death, okay. Okay. Infections. They had a lot of stuff happening to them. And the Lord says, if you give heed to the voice of the Lord your God and do what is right in his sight and give ear to his commandments and keep all his statutes, I will put none of the diseases which I have put on the Egyptians, for I am the Lord your healer. Right? So if things are biting your skin and you have itch, anybody ever know anybody that's always scratching? Bugs in their face all the time? Gnats, plagues, disease, plagues, disease, plagues, pestilence. Their paycheck just doesn't go. It's consumed. How about boils on man and beast? How about your dog or your pet, your cat? You've got infections. Listen to this. This is because you didn't give earnest heed to the voice of the Lord your God and do what was right in his sight. Now Deuteronomy 27:15 says, and through Deuteronomy 28, and I covered some of those things. I really do ask you to go and read Deuteronomy 27:28. I don't want to take up time doing that because there's a lot of curses in there that you need to look up and find out what is actually plaguing you. It could be something that is a curse that is passed on to you because of something you did or your ancestors did. And so you go find out what the curse produces and see if you have the same symptoms. So read Deuteronomy 27:28. And if so, well, you're going to get set free of it. Amen? Okay. Hebrews 11:16 says that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. And remember, when I started off with Psalm 103, verse 1, and it says, he pardons all your sins and heals all your diseases. And that's exactly what he wants to do today. He wants to pardon you and forgive you and heal all of your diseases. Now, remember what I touched on. I touched on fear. Fear produces anxiety and stress, hatred. Is at the root of all diseases. It really is. Headaches, migraines, hay fever, ulcers, constipation, candida, diarrhea, irritable bowel syndrome, chronic fatigue syndrome, allergies, high blood pressures, bitterness, self-hatred, self-rejection, coronary heart disease, artery disease, strokes, anger, rage, resentment, aneurysms, varicose veins. How about steaming heat? Steaming anger. Anybody ever get so mad they want to take off? They want to go ballistic? Right? Yeah, I said that word and somebody laughed back there. They could identify with it. Okay? Well, that was me. I was like that. I got so mad, I just wanted to go ballistic. And so I had to, I called it ranting and raving is what it was. And so until the Lord showed me, that's what I had to deal with. And I finally got rid of that. But these are all things that are rooted in fear, anxiety, and stress. These are all things that I've called out and that I've said that attack not only that, but they attack the immune system. They cause diseases. Okay, fear, anxiety, stress, or you could buy the tape, self-hatred, at the root of many diseases. By the way, I want to take this time for a commercial. At the very back in the bookstore, there's about 26 books that my father wrote, and he inspired me, so if you like what's happening up here, just go buy his books, and you're going to get the rest of it, because he's got 30-some-odd years of ministry experience back there. And his name, by the way, happens to be the same as my name, Frank Marzullo, so it's hard to miss the books. Now, there's 26 books back there, and Sound Mind, Not Fear. Sound Mind, Not Fear. It's back there on the bookshelf. And you'll find there's, well, just take a look back there. You'll see. All right? Praise God. Okay. And there is no charge for that commercial. Praise God. Well, for those things, we're going to call out, sister, at the very end. All right? So those are spiritually rooted diseases, and we're going to take care of business. We call it business. We're going to take care of business today. Okay. Praise God. There's other things that are impotence, frigidity. Don't start coughing back here. I didn't start. Fatigue, lethargy, overeating, obsessive, compulsive behaviors. There's all sorts of things here we're going to take care of. All sorts of things that stem out of fear, anxiety, and depression. If you're listening to fear, then you're not listening to God. If something has got you bound up and you're afraid to do something, you're not listening to God. If something is holding you back in life from bringing light onto a subject, you're not listening to God. Here's something I learned. Light reveals, darkness conceals. Light reveals, darkness conceals. If you are concealing something, it is not God. It's darkness. And darkness is fear. So you may be concealing something because of fear. So bring everything out into the light, everything out into the open. It's an amazing thing what happens. When everything's brought out into the light, darkness seems to fade away. You can turn on a light switch and chase away darkness. It doesn't work the other way around. So you can go into a room and flip on a light, a dark room, flip on a light, and everything becomes bright and there's no more darkness. You just can't go into a lighted room and flip on a switch and create darkness. So it doesn't work that way. Light chases away darkness, always. Amen? 2 Timothy 1:7. For God has not given us a spirit of, but of... Hey, you guys catch on quick. Now, I want to tell you something about what... There's an interesting thing. There's a gland in the body that appears to influence the behavior and is found in the endocrine system. And I got this out of a more excellent way. There's a book back there next to the cash register called A More Excellent Way by Dr. Henry Wright. And this is a very interesting book because it talks about the endocrine system, and it consists of a pituitary gland, a pineal gland, and a parathyroid gland, the thyroid gland, the thymus gland, the adrenal glands, the pancreas, the ovaries, and the hypothalamus gland, which is located in the third ventricle just above the pituitary. Now, is that right back here? Right there? Right back here? Right there. Right there. And so it's right back, just as if you just kind of like fix your hair like that, and you just rub your hand back here. It's right there, right at the base of your skull. And it controls the automatic nervous system, heart rate, movement of the food through the digestive tract, and contraction of the urinary bladder. It also releases chemicals that stimulate the pituitary gland. We're talking about the hypothalamus gland. Now, out of that book in the back that I was talking about, that Dr. Henry Wright speaks on this gland, He gets his information from this book, and if you want to jot this book down, it's from Principles of Anatomy and Physiology by Gerald J. Tortora and Nicholas P. Anagnostakis. I need a drink of water after that word. And this is on from Harper and Row, the second edition, 1978, if you're looking for the book, if you want to know where Dr. Henry Wright got his information. And this is what the book says, according to Dr. Henry Wright. The hypothalamus gland is the facilitator and the originator of the following life circumstances. Now, this is this gland back here. It says that this gland is the facilitator and the originator of the following life circumstances. All expressions of fear, anxiety, stress, tension, panic, panic attacks, phobias, rage, anger, and aggression. These are all released and facilitated by this one gland. It only responds to you either by emotionally or spiritually. These are secular people. They're writing about something that we know about. You know, the fear produces things. And, Jerry, you said it right. Fight or flight. That's what happens. There's a secretion in this gland that either makes you want to stand and fight or run. There's something there in that gland that produces this. And it produces it, and it sends a signal through your body. So at that point, it facilitates this one thing. Either stand there and fight or run. And it responds to you emotionally or spiritually. Whatever is deep that is happening deep in your recesses, deep inside of you, is caused by that gland, emotionally, if you want to fight or flight. Since these expressions and emotions flow from this gland, it would be good to pray for the healing on that gland today. Amen? You see, if you know, and especially in spiritual warfare, I know that certain demons nest in certain areas of the body, such as witchcraft nest in the female organs or the male organs. Right? I've learned that over experience. When I pray for somebody to command a spirit of witchcraft at, I have them put their hands over their female organs or the male organs. They seem to nest there. We know that the spirit of arthritis afflicts the bones and the joints. So you pray for the bones and the joints in a certain area of the body. And so here it is. Satan can get us to be afraid all the time, anxious all the time, and he can control an area of our body that facilitates fight or flight. It's right here. Now, what happens when you have a headache, a stress headache? Where do you put your hand? My goodness, isn't that amazing? When you get a headache, it's back here. What causes headache? Stress? Tension? Overeating. Who said that? Well, maybe for you. All right, back here. What's that? Okay, too much sugar. All right. But what happens when you have... Generally speaking, when you get a tension headache, you hear that? Tension? What's tension? Stress. Anxiety. How about some great thing that you're about to do and it causes what? And what do you get? Headache. Stress headache. Right back here. Right where that gland is. Isn't that amazing? Isn't that amazing? So we're going to pray for that today. And we're going to pray for divine healing on that area. The Word of God says in Psalm 37:5, commit your way to the Lord, trust also in Him, and He will do it. Let's stand up. We're going to get rid of some things here, and we're going to pray. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. First thing we do is we say, for those, by the way, I always anticipate that there's maybe somebody in the crowd that has never really asked Jesus to come into their life, into their heart. And I would like to offer that because that's what it's all about. It's not really about deliverance. It's not about healing. It's about saving souls. All right? This is just kind of like the frosting on the cake. But for those that have never accepted Jesus Christ as Savior, and I offer this to you today, maybe you've walked away from Him. Maybe you're dried up on the vine. Maybe you're looking to get back into a deep relationship with Him. Maybe there's things in your life that you wish you could be closer to God. So I offer this to you today. Lord Jesus, I ask that you come into my heart and save me. I trust you. I believe that the blood that you shed on the cross was for me and payment for all my sins. And the blood that flowed from your back, by your stripes, I was healed. I receive your blood for my sins and for my healing. And I ask you to come into my heart and be my Lord and Savior. I now surrender myself to you. You are my God and my King. And I thank you. And I thank the Heavenly Father for sending you. Because without you, there would be no forgiveness of sins. And I ask that you forgive me of all my sins. Everybody be quiet just for a minute and let the Lord flash things in your mind as the Holy Spirit reveals to you all the secret things that you have hidden in your heart, the things that you have said and done. And as you do that, just confess them up to the Lord and let Him heal you and let Him release you of these things. If there's things that you have heard today, you have not tithed, you have transgressed the law, you have done something, just release it up to Him as sin and let Him heal you and deliver you of these things. Thank you, Lord. 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 If you have aught against somebody, you have an unforgiveness in your heart, just release them. Say, Father, I forgive them. I release them. I release them. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Say this with me. Lord Jesus, I confess all my sins to you. And I'm sorry. Please forgive me. Whether these people are alive or dead, I release them now. And I ask that you release them. Thank you for justifying me and cleansing me in your precious blood. Come into my heart and take full control of me. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Now, does anybody say that for the first time in here that has come to the Lord Jesus Christ? I'd just like to see a raise of hands. No? Okay. If anybody has come back to the Lord, okay, a few people. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Let's say this. Lord Jesus, I confess that I have not properly loved, but I've resented certain people. Now, I want you to think of the face of that person now that you resented. I want you to think of the face of that person now that you resented and release them. The one that every time somebody mentions their name, it's like sticking a knife in your stomach. It's a terrible feeling you get when you think of them or somebody mentions their name. Release them now. Thank you, Lord. I repent of this, and I ask that you forgive me. I call upon you to help me completely forgive them. Now I forgive them from my heart. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Ooh, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Now, having said this, say this with me. Now, having said this, I pray and I now command all spirits that are in control of infirmities and all kindred spirits of unforgiveness, grudge holding, resentment, bitterness, hatred, hatred against my father, hatred against my mother, hatred against my heavenly father, hatred against self, brothers, sisters, relatives, employees, schoolmates, teachers, ministers, husband, wife, former lovers, and a whole race of people. I command those demons to leave me now. In Jesus' name, take a deep breath and let it go. Go in the name of Jesus. out, hatred, unforgiveness, go in the name of Jesus Christ. Get out in Jesus' name. Out, bitterness, hatred. Out, you that controlled infirmities. Hatred against brothers and sisters and relatives. Hatred against bosses. Hatred against leaders. Go in Jesus' name. Go in Jesus' name. Now here's more. Every spirit of envy, revenge, retaliation, all spirits that would cause me to destroy myself in drugs or alcohol, I command out of me now in the name of Jesus Christ. Take a deep breath. Go! Out in the name of Jesus. Get out. Cough it out. Blow it out. Go in the name of Jesus. Out. Spirits of envy. Envy. Rottenness to the bones. Go in the name of Jesus. You that causes rottenness to the bones. Go in the name of Jesus. And hatred. Go in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. I now command out of me fear that would attack my mind with emotional distress, phobias, who would rob me of a sound mind. I command these spirits to go in the name of Jesus. Take a deep breath. Go in the name of Jesus. Go out, spirits that rob you of a sound mind. Go in the name of Jesus. Out, out in Jesus' name. Out in Jesus' name. I command out of me every spirit of doubt and disbelief, disobedience, anti-submissive spirits, all spirits that dishonor God, dishonor my heavenly Father, my earthly Father, my earthly Mother, all spirits of pride that would rob me of my healing, that would cause flesh problems, all spirits that would cause me to be healed on my own terms, all spirits of man-pleasing spirit, looking to man to heal me rather than God. I command all spirits that are of robbing, the thief spirit, the one that causes me not to pay my tithes, to hold back from God. I command these demons, and all such demons, and all like demons, and all kindred spirits, to leave me now. In the name of Jesus Christ. Take a deep breath and cough them out. Go in the name of Jesus. Out, you thief and robbing spirit. Go out, you spirit of dishonesty that says not to be truthful all the time. All spirits of disobedience, doubt, disbelief. All spirits of bitterness and envy. Go in the name of Jesus. Out, pride. Out, you that rots the flesh. Go in the name of Jesus. Go in Jesus' name. Go in Jesus' name. Out in Jesus' name. Out in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. 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 Now, since we got rid of some of the big boys, let's go after the small ones that they produced. Amen? Thank you, Lord. I command all fear, anxiety, stress, self-hatred, headaches, migraines, hay fever, heart disease, spirits that control ulcers, constipation, candidia, diarrhea, irritable syndrome, chronic fatigue syndrome, allergies, high blood pressure, bitterness, self-hatred, self-rejection, coronary artery disease, spirits that cause stroke, anger, rage, resentment, aneurysms, varicose veins, rage, resentment, steaming anger, autoimmune diseases, the spirits that cause unloving spirit, a feeling of not being loved, not being accepted, self-rejection, self-hatred, self-bitterness, guilt, to come out of me now, in the name of Jesus Christ. Take a deep breath and let's cough them out, blow them out. Go in the name of Jesus. Out, bitterness, hatred. Out, anxiety, fear, stress, headaches, migraines, hay fever, ulcers. Go. Out, out. You're the one that causes bottle ears syndrome. Go. Out. Coronary artery disease, strokes, anger, fatigue, varicose veins. Go. You're the one that attacks the autoimmune system. You that attacks the immune system. You the one that causes AIDS. You the one that causes hepatitis C. Go in the name of Jesus. Go out in Jesus' name. 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 I command out of me every spirit of impotency, frigidity, skin disorders, eczema, acne, inflammations of the skin, spirits that attack the central nervous system, lethargy, fatigue. I command these demons to come out of me now. In the name of Jesus Christ, take a deep breath and cough them out. Go in the name of Jesus. Out, out. You the one that causes skin disease. You the one that causes skin disease. Go in the name of Jesus. Out. Eczema, seborrhea, psoriasis. Go in the name of Jesus. Inflammation of the skin. Go. Impotency and fragility. Go. Fatigue, lethargy. Go in the name of Jesus. Out, 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 out. There are people that are driven. They're driven and they have no peace. And it's caused by anxiety. I command out of me every spirit that drives me, that caused me anxiety, and had to have no peace. The spirit of overeating. The spirit of obsessive compulsive behavior that's rooted in fear and rejection, fear of man, fear of failures, fear of abandonment. I command that spirit of overeating that is a pacifier, that brings a false calming to me, a false comforter. I command that spirit to leave me now in the name of Jesus Christ. Take a deep breath. Go in the name of Jesus. Get out in Jesus' name. Leave in the name of Jesus Christ. Get out in the name of Jesus. Out, out, out in Jesus' name. Out, out, out in Jesus' name. Out in Jesus' name. Out in Jesus' name. I command out of me every spirit of depression, insomnia. That's right. Some of you can't sleep because you're depressed, because you're fearful. I command that spirit of insomnia, depression, to leave me now. Take a deep breath. In the name of Jesus, go! Out in Jesus' name. 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 I command that spirit that causes me to listen to fear instead of listening to God. I command that spirit of fear. Now I want you to name your fear. You have fears. Fear of height, fear of being closed in, claustrophobia, fear of being in an elevator, fear of driving on an expressway. Whatever fear you have, I want you to name it. That shuts the back door on the enemy. He can't come back into your life. Come on, name your fear, whatever it is. Just speak it out. Call it out. That spirit that causes me to, and you name it. Rejection. Whatever it is, you call it out. That fear that causes me, and you name it. You name it. Okay. Those spirits I called out, come out of me now in the name of Jesus. Those spirits of fear, those spirits that caused me to be this way, I command you to come out of me now in the name of Jesus Christ. Everyone take a deep breath and let it go. Out in the name of Jesus! Out in His name! Out in the name of Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God! Come out in His name! Come out of them in His name! Hallelujah! God has not given me a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and sound mind. And I receive, put your hands on your head, a sound mind in the name of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Now, I want you to put your, while you're putting your hands somewhere, because these are healing hands. You have healing hands, by the way. Right? The Lord gave you healing hands because He has given you power over all the power of the enemy. Amen? Jesus said, go lay hands on the sick. Your hands. Go lay hands on the sick. All right. So your hands, put them on the back of your head where your hypothalamus gland is. Now say this. Hypothalamus gland, and every demon that is locked in there, I command you to release your hold over my hypothalamus gland. In the name of Jesus Christ, every spirit of fear, anxiety, or stress, I command you to leave me now. In the name of Jesus Christ, out of my gland. In Jesus' name, take a deep breath and let it go. Out in the name of Jesus, every spirit that is in that gland that causes fear, anxiety, and stress, go in the name of Jesus Christ. Go in Jesus' name. Go in Jesus' name. Go in Jesus' name. Go in Jesus' name. Now, while your hands are still there, I want you to say, receive healing in Jesus' name. Now, I want you to receive healing, just like you asked and just like you said. Gland, receive healing in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Woo! Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Well, what? You want more? Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise Him. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Let's just give God a hand. All right? Thank you, Lord. 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 Listen, there's something I'd like you to do. I'd like the first row of people. Let me have your hands. Thank you. Let me have your other one. Everything that I didn't touch on today, right? Everything that I didn't touch on today, I want you to lay hands on the neighbor behind you. And the Lord's going to heal you, and He's going to heal them. Lay up your hands. Now, receive healing. All those that I anointed, receive healing in the name of Jesus Christ. Now turn around and do the same thing to your neighbors. Receive healing in the name of Jesus Christ. God, you can go find somebody. Receive healing in the name of Jesus Christ. Receive healing. And the ones that are being anointed and being touched, I want you to turn around and do the same to the people behind you. As soon as you receive healing, as soon as you receive a touch, an anointing of the Lord by the person that was in front of you, turn around and do the same. Let it go all the way to the back. Let it go all the way to the back. Don't stop there. Receive healing in the name of Jesus Christ. Receive healing in the name of Jesus Christ. And as soon as you receive that blessing, turn around and bless someone else. Receive healing in the name of Jesus Christ. Receive healing in the name of Jesus Christ. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Isn't being a Christian a blast? Hallelujah. Receive healing in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Now, Brother Glenn, we're due back here when?
7 o'clock.
7 o'clock? Okay. You want me to pray now? Thank you, Lord. I'm going to pray for dinner at 7 o'clock. Don't worry. God will understand that we're 2 hours early praying. Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
Heavenly Father, we just thank You for Your healing and Your deliverance today, that You have set the captives free. And we give every one of these nuggets of gold to You, Lord. And glorify Your name. We just praise Your name, Lord, for You are our King, our Lord, our God. And we put our trust and our faith in You. Thank You, Lord, for healing us. And Lord, more than that, thank You for inviting us into Your presence. Thank You, Lord, that You have invited us to the banquet. Thank You, Lord. We humbly ask You, Lord, to bless the food. We ask that Your hand be over our food as we eat and our conversations as we speak. That nothing be said or done, that will not be done or said, unless it magnify the name of Jesus Christ. And Lord, we just thank You for that food. Thank You for the hands that prepared it. Lord, there are people behind the scenes working in the kitchen, so I ask that You bless them. Thank You for providing it for us. In the name of Jesus Christ, You are our provider, Jehovah Jireh. We love You, Lord. We love You, God. We love You, Jesus. We love You, Holy Spirit. Amen.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you.